here, and we are ready to rock and roll with YOU.
All right. Well, we hope and pray that you've had a blessed day today, and we are counting it all joy, for this is indeed the day the Lord has made, and we're determined to rejoice and be glad in it. Let us know that you're getting a clear signal and that the sound is coming in good. We do praise God for all that he's done and all that he's doing and all that he will do. And we thank him today for his keeping power. And we understand clearly that if it had not been for the Lord on our sides, somebody tell me, where would we be? But we thank him today for his keeping power. Come on, let us know you're getting a clear signal, those of you who are already on. And as you're joining, we praise God for you. And we know that this is going to be a powerful time and our faith is going to increase. The word of the Lord says that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so we believe that and we receive that. And we thank God for what is going to happen as a result of our faith increase. Somebody let us know you're getting a clear signal. Well, we're in the sixth chapter of 2 Chronicles. Believe it or not, we're moving right through. There are about 42 verses there, Lady Kim, but we're only going to try to cover half of that. And if we are able to get through all of it tonight, then we'll be a little ahead of the game. But we praise God for, thank you for letting us know we're getting a clear signal. But we praise God for allowing us an opportunity to yet explore what is happening. This is a continuation of course, we know last week Solomon, of course, entered into the temple and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And it was so powerful, it was so mighty, until the people did not even get a chance to finish what they were doing as related to the worship experience. But before we go any further, we want to stop and have a word of prayer and just thank God for what he's about to do. Will you pray with me? Father, we bless you and we honor you and we yet give you praise. We're grateful for your presence. We thank you for your peace, your power. We thank you for your protection. We thank you for looking beyond our faults and getting right to our needs. We love you tonight and we adore you and we worship your name. And we're grateful for an opportunity to gather through this medium for a study of your word. You told us that faith indeed cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so we thank you, dear Lord, that our faith is going to increase and we're going to be better as a result of spending this time together. We ask your blessing to be upon each person that will participate and be a part of this time together. And then, God, whatever needs might be present, whatever situations might need your attention, we pray that you will show yourself strong on our behalf. So we love you and we honor you. Now settle us and center us and allow us to hear your word and receive our prayers and receive our praise even now. In Jesus' name we pray.
Jesus' name.
Amen. And praise God. All right. Well, I see we're getting a clear signal. Lady Kim just came in. She started her week of, what do you call it, intensive?
Intensive residency.
Intensive residency. Yes. And she's well on the way, but she came right on in and grabbed her notes and settled in and ready to go ahead. And even after a long day in class, she's ready to go ahead and lead us through this study. Come on, somebody give God some praise. So we thank God for Lady Kim. And of course, Lady Kim, as we always do, we kind of reflect on what happened on yesterday and the worship experience. It was another full weekend for us. And we had a powerful time on Saturday as well as Sunday. And
absolutely,
then Sunday afternoon, there
absolutely
were an array of things that happened and God was showed favor among us. Just tell us a little bit about the weekend and wherever you want to jump in there.
Well, on Saturday, we had a combined 3-for-1 meeting. We had our leadership monthly meeting, as well as participants from the Institute for Leadership Training, as well as some of our new members. And like I said, it was a combined session. And so the new members got a chance to see who all the leaders were. Also, they were able to hear what is up and coming for our next couple of months at Anointed Temple of Praise and Institute for Leadership Training. Those people going through were able to see and meet the leaders of ATOP. And so it's just a wonderful time of fellowship.
That's right.
And to
That's
see
right.
how we get things done at Anointed Temple of Praise. So we just thank God.
I thought that was very inspirational as well as informational for particularly our new members, because many times they don't get a chance to see what happens behind the scenes. And oftentimes they don't get a chance to meet those who are in leadership and who are helping to guide the vision and the mission of ATOP. And so with the Institute being a part of that, that was great for us in terms of making sure that people get a sense of, because you never know, Lady Kim, some of them perhaps can be potential leaders, and they need to get a sense of how we get things done. Some people never get a chance to experience anything outside of what happens on Sunday morning.
Right.
And so we're grateful that God arranged that for us to have that three-in-one. We called it the three-in-one. Mm-hmm. So one for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Somebody say amen. And Brother C informed us that they still have that 3-in-1 oil out there.
Wow.
And so, that was a powerful time on Saturday. And so what happened on yesterday in worship experience?
Well, again, another powerful worship service on yesterday. You were continuing with your series on winning, Win the Day.
Win the Day.
It's the title of the book that you are kind of referencing. But you talk from the subject, you're winning a one race.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You're winning a one race. And when
can
I
you say that five times?
Thought of, I probably can.
That's not a tongue twister.
You're winning, not really.
Okay, go ahead, let me see.
No, you do it.
But you do it. All right, go ahead.
You're winning a one race.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's enlightening, well, not enlightening, but it's refreshing to know that the race has already been won.
It's already been won.
But our challenge is we need to keep on running.
Keep on running.
And
that's
if you
right.
can't run, walk.
That's right.
And if you can't walk, crawl.
Uh-uh.
And if you can't crawl, cry out for help.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
But keep going. Whatever you do.
Whatever you do, you need to keep it moving.
That's
Say,
right.
keep it moving.
Keep it moving.
Amen. Because we are winning a race that has already been won.
That's
it was
right.
already won by Christ when he gave his life on the cross.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Amen. And so because he was victorious, we are no longer victims, but we are victors.
That's right.
Through Christ Jesus. And so your scripture was from Philippians, the first chapter, and you really focused on just one verse,
uh-huh.
verse number six.
Right.
And verse number six, I'm not sure.
It's the Message
Bible. Yeah, this is the Message Bible.
It says
there's never been the slightest doubt in my mind that the God who started this great work in you would keep at it and bring it to a flourishing finish on the very day Christ Jesus appears.
Okay.
So I think another scripture says that, you know, Christ will bring it to a flourishing finish or
completion.
Completion, yes. Mm-hmm. That he who has begun a good work in you shall perform it to the end or something
right,
like that.
Right,
so,
right. All of that is applicable because, like you say in the Message Bible, it really kind of combined two or three scriptures together, but it gives a better point of reference and a different terminology in terms of understanding it. But the key to it is that if Christ started the work, then he's well able to finish the work.
Amen.
And so were you able to pull your notes up this time?
Or yeah, they came up. They came up right away. So
okay.
if something's wrong with the app, sometimes my notes are here, sometimes they're not.
Okay.
So,
well, tell us a little bit about what you heard the Lord saying in the worship experience.
Well, you had three points from that you talked about prayer, pain, and process.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Prayer, pain, and process. And prayer is the base where God resides.
Okay.
Or
okay.
another way to put that is prayer is the key that unlocks faith's door.
Okay.
So
okay.
prayer is where God resides. When we go to God in prayer,
mm-hmm.
serious prayer, and then stay there and listen for God to respond to our prayers, then we can clearly hear what God has to say.
That's good. Because if we anticipate on winning the day, we have to start with the spiritual discipline of prayer. And I think many times we in such a hurry to try to get the day started, and we have already laid out the agenda in terms of what the work schedule is going to look like. And sometimes we're running late, and there are some other things that happen in between us getting up and trying to get to the car where you have to eat, drink your coffee or whatever. But if we just pause and we get up early enough to spend quality time with God, it will really enhance what we are getting ready to do for that day. And it will help us to stay focused in terms of winning the day.
Mm-hmm.
And so that prayer, the discipline of prayer is key if we plan to win the day.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Sister Shanta said prayer is the foundation.
That's right.
Absolutely right. The foundation. You know, the foundation that Christ himself said.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was often found engaged in prayer.
Right.
You know, he prayed in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
He prayed
on the mountain. That's right.
You know, he prayed before he fed people. He prayed. That was, you know, and then the disciples noticed Jesus and his prayer life.
That's right.
And they said, Lord, teach us how to pray.
Teach us how to pray.
And so he gave them a model in which to pray from, and which is which we call the Lord's Prayer. So prayer
that
is the
prayer
key.
Prayer is so key, Reverend, because he really dealt with some very key essentials in terms of how to frame the prayer and how to be focused in terms of Our Father, which art in heaven, that's giving reverence to God. Hallowed be thy name, still reverencing. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Even before you get to the laundry list of things that you want God to do, we should reverence and honor God and respect God for who he is and give him his due praise.
Amen.
And then they go on to talk about thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a focus of yesterday or what's going to happen the day after tomorrow. But he's getting the disciples to understand that the focus is on the day that's in front of them.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's right. And so we see that prayer is a powerful prerequisite for starting our day.
Okay.
Or for winning the day.
That's it.
And then you talk about pain, too. You mm-hmm. know, and in our life, we're going to experience pain, whether it's physical pain, whether it's emotional pain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just life in general brings you pain. And mm-hmm. we have to know how to deal with pain. God is a keeper, but he'll never allow anything to happen to us that he has not already given his stamp of approval
for. That's right, that's right.
That does not necessarily mean that God inflicts pain.
Right.
He allows pain.
Mm-hmm.
He allows situations to happen for different reasons. You know, he might be trying to teach you a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
He might be trying to bring you out. He might be trying to stretch your faith or
That's
grow
right.
your faith.
That's right.
So we never know why God allows pain to come in our lives, but as long as we live, we will experience some sort of pain.
And the interesting thing about that is the Bible is clear when it says that Jesus himself said that in this life you're going to have trials and tribulation, but be of good courage, for I've already overcome the world.
Amen.
And then I think it was James who says, count it all joy when you go through trials and tribulations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, so it has to do with the trying of our faith mm-hmm. as well. The trying of your faith is what worketh patience, and let patience have a perfect work that we might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And many times when people have a tendency to pray for patience, and I was one who did that early on. God will put you in a situation where your patience will be tested. And I think oftentimes that develops the do's and don'ts of what happens when you find yourself in a situation where you feel your patience is being tested. If you haven't gone through anything, then you really won't understand how to appreciate what God is doing. And many times it looks as if we're drowning, but God oftentimes is trying to teach us how to swim.
Amen. There are lots of great comments here. Okay. Dr. Olu said, don't despise the pain. The process led by God leads to profit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then Sister Shanta says, faith untested can't be trusted.
That's right.
Amen.
I wonder where she got that from.
I've heard that somewhere. Yeah. She says,
faith is not
tested
can't be trusted.
Amen. Then she said, no pain, no cross, no crown.
All right.
Amen. But what I was thinking of when we were talking is that there is purpose for our pain.
That's right.
And so God doesn't allow us to go through pain for no reason at all. And we serve a God that works things out for his good.
Mm-hmm.
And that you won't win if we quit.
Wow.
So if if something is causing us pain, if we give up, we'll never win. Mm-hmm. And I think you said winners never lose and quitters never win.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You have taken some excellent notes there, Reverend. That's a great job. What was the last point that we had?
Well, you also talked about winners don't make excuses, but
That's right.
You talked about the process.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
the process
of winning is for others to see,
mm-hmm.
to look at us as we go through whatever we go through and how we come through it. It's for others to see,
mm-hmm.
so that we have to go through our pain as a witness and a testimony for others.
Okay. And that's key, because many times we think that we start thinking about ourselves and that mm-hmm. it's all about us. But the each victory will help us some other to win, as the song would say. But we have people who are observing and watching how we respond when we find ourselves in situations that's unfavorable or doesn't line up with when the things that's happening in the natural doesn't line up with what God is trying to get us to see in the spirit realm.
Amen. We have a couple of others comments here that we can't ask God to teach you something if you're not willing to show up for class.
Wow.
Amen.
That's good right there.
and then, our neighbor can see the strength that God has given us. Your neighbor can see the strength that God has given you, so others can see the process of how you came out.
Okay.
I think you said that.
I don't believe I did, but that sounds good to me.
All right.
I may have, because, one of the things that happens, we don't want to go through the process sometimes. Mm-hmm. We want to get to the shout, but we don't want to go through the difficulty mm-hmm. that it takes. Your testimony and the shout really comes as a result of you going through some things and seeing how God can move, and understanding that it was nobody but God who brought you out.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a part of the process. And so pain is often a part of that process. And prayer is definitely essential in terms of us winning the day.
Amen.
And so we have a right and a reason and a responsibility to give him praise for what he's done and for what he will do. For the word says, eyes haven't seen nor ears heard, neither have there entered into the heart of men the things that God has prepared for those who love him.
Amen.
You got a couple more words?
Yes, Brother Martez said, he said older folks always say, well, I have to say I'm older folks now.
All right.
So pain is to help us, not to hurt us.
Yeah, that's good.
To help us and not to hurt us.
Mm-hmm.
If you're living in Christ Jesus,
the pain is there
to help us and not hurt us. Some people that are not in Christ, they bring pain upon themselves, you know, and it hurts them, you know. It but God is still trying to teach them a lesson in it all. And Dr. Olu said, process is the period of molding and fashioning into a finer vessel unto honor.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Amen.
That's good. We got quite a few people on tonight, and we're certainly praise God for each of you. We're doing a little review of what happened this weekend before we get ready to jump into the word tonight. We're going to be in the 6th chapter of 2 Chronicles. Is that right, Lady Kim?
That's correct.
And there are about 42 verses there. We're going to just try to tackle half of that, and then we'll see, based upon the schedule, the first 21 verses, I believe, and just see how things flow. But we do praise God for each of you. And it's exciting that how God is moving in the life of the church. The Lord added another soul on yesterday.
Amen.
And I tell you, it's amazing how God is a blessing. And the glory of the Lord was in the house. And many said that they would be praying for that to happen. You remember
Amen.
From last
That's
week?
Right.
And so we ought to include that in our prayers for this Sunday as well, that the glory of the Lord might fill the house and that we might experience God at a deeper level, and that we might go higher and deeper all at the same time.
Amen.
That's amazing, isn't
God.
It?
Yes, it is.
Not only did we have worship, not only did we have workshop, but we went to Quince Nursing Home on Sunday afternoon as well. Tell us a little bit about what happened there.
Well, we had a glorious time in the Lord. Minister Laretha Perkins did an outstanding job with her message.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
So we just thank God for her.
Talked about the woman with the issue
of blood.
Mm-hmm. And talked about, centered around that faith, how important it is for us to have the kind of faith that we are willing to go for what we need to go in order to get what we need from God. And many times people don't want to stretch their faith. People don't want to go that extra mile and do the unusual. And this woman, she did the unusual. And like Minister Laretha said, the healing was not in the hem of the garment.
That's
but
right.
It was in her faith. And,
yes.
and knowing that she could, if she could just touch the hem of his garment. There's something about that touch. And she talked about that. And Minister Laretha, I don't know if she's on. Yeah, there she is. She's on tonight. And we praise God for her. That was her really first time preaching.
Mm-hmm.
She's prayed several times in the worship experience at church. But we had a full supporting cast there with her. Many of the choir members, many of the leaders were there, and we probably had just as many people as they did in the nursing home to be present. And all of that was to show our support and to encourage, and many prayers were going up. And Minister Perkins, you did an excellent job in terms of your development and how you really you could tell that that was an anointed word and that you had spent time with God. That's
mm-hmm.
right, working on it. And so we praise God for her. Come on, let's give God some hearts and some thumbs up there and let Minister Perkins know. And many of you have already talked to her since yesterday about how powerful that word was.
Amen. But before we leave, one parting note from yesterday's sermon is to win today, don't quit. Stay focused on what God is doing. He's doing a work in me and he's doing a work in you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So we'll see how the Lord leads this week, and we're standing on tiptoe in anticipation in terms of what will happen. And can y'all just give me some thumbs up and let me know that you're going to be praying that that God's glory will fill the house this Sunday, and that we will have an awesome worship experience.
Amen.
I believe in the power of prayer, and I know that
yes,
you do
Jesus.
Too. And we have intercessors and prayer warriors who are yet praying. And so we hope and pray that you will include that in your prayers, that God's glory would just fill the house
Amen.
On this coming Sunday.
And you know, in Acts, when they talk about the day of Pentecost, it said when they were all on one accord and had all things in common,
mm-hmm.
that's when the Holy Spirit came in.
Right.
And I think that's what went on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Many people were on one accord. Can you imagine what it would be like if we all were on one accord? Everybody that entered the worship service,
right, right.
if their minds were all...
Singleness of focus.
Said we come to give God praise. We come to give God worship. We come to give God glory. If we come in the door with our minds transfixed on giving God glory and honor and praise and worship, some powerful things will happen
hallelujah.
In the worship service.
Glory God.
Chains will be broken, and you know, addictions will be broken, and
lives will be changed.
Lives gonna be changed.
That's
we
right.
just pray for that.
That's right. And we're baptizing this Sunday, so we want to be ready for that. We have some five candidates, Lady Amen. Kim, that are going to be baptized. So I know that's going to be an exciting time for them as well as for the kingdom, because all of heaven rejoices when just one sinner comes in repentance and asks for forgiveness. And so we ought to rejoice and be glad when people come and they're baptized and people are inviting people to come. And so we're looking forward to it. All, a lot of people are saying it's done. They're praying now. And we're believing that, that God is going to do something powerful in the worship experience this coming Sunday.
Amen. Amen.
Any other comments that you need to share before we prepare to get into our study for tonight? We're in the sixth chapter of 2 Chronicles. There are about 42 verses there. And our task is to handle the first 21 verses, but we'll see how the Lord leads us as we move through tonight in terms of what he would have for us to impart tonight.
Amen. Now, I think that everybody was just agreeing and on one accord.
Okay.
You know, about what we have spoken into the atmosphere.
Okay. Well, this sixth chapter of 2 Chronicles, on last week, as you're well aware, as we've already referenced, the temple now is complete. They entered into the temple and all of the artifacts, all of the materials, all of the things were in place. And as they came in for worship, God met them there and he honored what they had accomplished and what they had done. And Solomon brought all of the things from his dad and he dedicated them, as well as as they entered into the sanctuary, the Ark of the Covenant was put in place. And it was just a powerful time for them as they dedicated the temple to God.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. So with this temple dedication, you know, Solomon is now making a dedication and a prayer.
Okay. All right.
To God.
Okay.
And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. Mm-hmm. Solomon's prayer of dedication, and how Solomon blesses God.
That's right.
And when I thought about how Solomon blesses God, how do we bless God?
Mm-hmm.
How do
mm-hmm.
we honor God? You know, do we honor him or do we bless him by just getting up in the morning and rushing out the door and saying a little haphazard prayer? Or do we spend time, intentional time, blessing the Lord?
Okay. So I believe we'll get an example of how Solomon blessed the Lord as mm-hmm. we look at these verses in the sixth chapter. And Solomon acknowledges God's presence in the cloud, and this is almost a continuation of what happened on last week.
Right.
Because he's still in praise mode, if you will, and he begins to bless the people and he blesses God, and then he's presenting the finished temple to God in this sixth chapter. And so it's still a high time. They're still in worship, if you will. And Solomon is getting ready now to do the dedicatory prayer. And show God how much he honors and appreciates him for allowing him to be the one to bring this thing to pass.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Shall we begin reading?
Yes, ma'am.
Where would you like me to start?
Well,
we're
tasked to do 21
verses.
Mm-hmm. So let's read the first 11 verses and see what that brings. And then we'll move to the next 10, 11 verses mm-hmm. or so after that.
Okay. And we're in 2 Chronicles, the sixth chapter, beginning with the first verse. Then Solomon, I'm reading from the Message Bible. Then Solomon said, God said he would dwell in a cloud, but I built a temple most splendid, a place for you to live in forever. The king then turned to face the congregation and had come together and blessed them. Blessed be God, the God of Israel, who spoke personally to my father David.
Mm-hmm.
Now he has done what he promised when he said, from the day I brought my people Israel up from Egypt, I haven't set apart one city among the tribes of Israel in which to build a temple to honor my name, or chosen one person to be the leader. But now I have chosen both a city and a person, Jerusalem, for honoring my name, and David to lead my people Israel. My father David very much wanted to build a temple honoring the name of God, the God of Israel. But God told him, it was good that you wanted to build a temple in my honor, most commendable. But you are not the one to do it. Your son, who will carry on your dynasty, will build it for my name.
Verse 10.
9. Okay. I'm getting ready to read 10. Uh-huh. 10 and 11. But now you see that promise completed. God has done what he said he would do. I have succeeded David, my father, and now rule Israel. And I have built a temple to honor God, and to honor God, the God of Israel, and have secured a place for the chest that holds the covenant of God, the covenant he made with the people of Israel.
Okay. So this is very powerful, and Solomon, of course, is acknowledging God, first of all, in this whole process, and recognizing that it was God who made it happen. And then he acknowledges the people and blesses them for their dedication and commitment and the work that they have performed in order to build God this structure where it would be housed, and where the Ark of the Covenant would be housed. And the other thing that I heard as you were reading, Lady Kim, that he was really, detailed in his approach and making sure that he covered all of the bases, because he went and talked about his dad and how the covenant had been established with him, and how God had made a way for him to be the one to complete the task and not his dad. And so he made reference to all of that before the people and before God to be clear in terms of a process. That's a process there, again, of how important it is for us, even when we enter the temple, we need to honor and recognize God and glorify his name. And then we need to bless his holy name. The Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise, be thankful unto him and bless his name. And so all of this we see coming out in the first part of this sixth chapter, as David is going through a process, and he's very detailed in terms of his description.
Amen.
Any comments there?
No comments on the feed right now.
Okay. I was talking about you, but no, that's good. We got quite a few people on, and we're certainly grateful for each of you. We're in 2 Chronicles, the 6th chapter. Lady Kim just finished reading the first 11 verses. And really, this is a continuation of what happened on last week in the 5th chapter as they have entered into the temple. And so it seems as if things have kind of settled a little bit.
Yes.
And David is making sure that he follows proper protocol. He does things decent and in order. And all of these are just backdrop storylines that we see coming out of this text that will help us in terms of how we can apply it to our own situation, to our own circumstance. Mm-hmm.
And like you said, Solomon makes reference to his father, David, mm-hmm. that David really did want to build the house, but God spoke to David and said, you will not be the one that will build my house. Your son will build my house.
Right.
And how David accepted what God told him, and that he yielded to his son. But not only did he yield the building of the temple to his son Solomon, he prepared Solomon for the building of the temple by telling him exactly what he needed to do, the specifications for building the temple, the things that should be provided in the temple. And he set aside all of the utensils and gave him all of the materials in which to build the temple. And we have been studying that in Chronicles.
Didn't cut any corners. Didn't half step. He presented God his very best, and all of those who worked and all of those who had skill, they did not try to undercut or shortcut God in terms of their presentation of the process of building the temple. They wanted something that would be a lasting memorial. And you know, Lady Kim, as we were reading, I was thinking about when you kept referencing Israel and how God had chosen Israel as the place. Whenever current events happen in that part of the world, it gives us a sense of what God is doing, because it's a very possibility, it's probably a clear possibility that's where Jesus will come back. Mm-hmm. You know, but when there's all these wars and rumors of wars and things happening in that part of the world, then we have to take notice and keep our spiritual antennas up, because a lot of that is prophecy being fulfilled, and a lot of the things that Jesus himself said would happen. Many of those wars and rumors of wars, and just like what's happening over there now, is coming to pass in terms of the prophecies that have already gone forth.
Amen. Dr. Olusud said it's a great thing that David's dream of building a temple for God was fulfilled through his son.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right. So we have to, just looking at that, Dr. Olu, we as believers today, and we made reference to it in our leadership meeting on Saturday, have to be mentors, and we have to invest in other people. And we can't be the ones to have all of the information and hoard it and keep it to ourselves, because you never know what God might do or what might happen. And it just doesn't make any sense for people to have to start from scratch. But we need to have leaders who are willing to invest in other leaders and to train up people. As you were talking yesterday in the service about our young people serving, and they did a great job in terms of, you know, and the ushers were directing them in terms of what they need to do. And that's part of it, that mentorship, and how important that is for things to happen without, because the enemy will try to get in any way that he can, and all he needs is for something to just kind of somebody or something to not go accordingly, and a gap in the process, and he'll try to sneak his way in right there. But we rebuke that even now in the name of Jesus, and we believe that everybody is going to be mentors and on the lookout for future prospects, and then just encouraging other people as they are trying to find their way through the process, and not just let them go through by themselves, but we need to serve as a guidepost and lights for them, so that they might continue to keep the work going forward.
Amen. Minister Loretta said, iron sharpens iron. And Dr. Q says succession plans are needed and necessary. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yes, our lives are for God's glory. Lord God, let others see your light shine through me. That was Sister Vendora.
Okay.
Amen.
That's
and
great.
So we have to mentor people. We mm-hmm. have to have a succession plan. Mm-hmm. We need each other to survive. That's right, Brother Al. We need each other. And not only each other, we need generations.
That's right.
That follow us to see our example. But not only to see our example, but also we need to give them the tools mm-hmm. in which to build
that's
upon.
Right. That's right.
And that's what David did for Solomon.
Good.
That's what we have to do for our children and our generations to come. We have to give them the necessary tools that they need in order to build with. Not only build physically, but build spiritually upon.
That's right. And you know, they need to see it exercise not just on Sundays. They need to see it in the home, and they need to see They need to see you give. They need to see you participate. They need to see you worship. And I was thinking about Lil Carter. You know, he comes around. He's glad to put his offering in, and he's excited about it. But he also watches and observes what's happening in the service. And so, you know, when he's not only being mentored in the service, but mentored at home and mentored here, then it helps him get a broader perspective so that when the time does come for his generation to lead, it won't be foreign, or it won't be strange, or it won't be like they don't have any clue of what to do.
Amen. That's right. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's great.
All right. So, you ready to go ahead and read verses 12 through 21?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We're in the sixth chapter of Second Chronicles, and we've just talked a little bit about those first 11 verses. So Lady Kim's going to pick it up now at verse number 12, and we'll read down through verse 21.
Amen. It says, "Before the entire congregation of Israel, Solomon took his position at the altar of God and stretched out his hands. Solomon had made a bronze dais 7.5 feet square, 4.5 feet high, and placed it inside the court. That's where he now stood. Then he knelt in full view of the whole congregation, stretched his hands to heaven and prayed, 'God, O God of Israel, there is no God like you in the sky above or the earth below, who unswervingly keeps covenant with his servants and unfailingly loves them while they sincerely live in obedience to your way. You have kept your word to David, my father, your promise. You did exactly what you promised. Every detail, the proof is before us today. Keep it up, God, O God of Israel. Continue to keep the promises you made to David, my father, when you said, 'You'll always have a descendant to represent my rule on Israel's throne.' On the one condition that your sons are as careful to live obediently in my presence as you have." Verse number 17. "O God, God of Israel, let this all happen. Confirm and establish it. Can it be that God will actually move into our neighborhood? Why the cosmos itself isn't large enough to give you breathing room, let alone this temple I built. Even so, I'm bold to ask, pay attention to these my prayers, both intercessory and personal. Oh God, my God, listen to my prayers, energetic and devout, and I'm settling before you right now. Keep your eyes open to this temple day and night, this place you promised to dignify with your name. And listen to the prayers that I pray in this place. And listen to your people Israel when they pray at this place. Listen from your home in heaven. And when you hear, forgive."
Wow. So that's powerful. It's powerful. And David is still in the process of reflecting on the covenant that was made with his dad, and how God is a fulfiller of covenant when he makes covenant. And it's important for us to make sure that even if we don't see it coming to pass in our own lives, that we make sure that we leave the necessary, you know, whatever is needed for it to be fulfilled in the lives of those who are coming behind us. And he talked about the heritage and the lineage in that whole process. And I'm grateful, and it's powerful how he keeps referencing, even though his dad was not able to build the temple, he keeps referencing the fact that the covenant was first established with him.
With his father, David. Mm-hmm. That's correct. Mm-hmm. That's correct. Brother Martez says, "Think of Psalm 90, verse 1. The Lord has been our dwelling place in all generations. Mm-hmm. Each generation needs to hand down all righteous teachings for future generations that come.
Mm-hmm. That's key. That's key. So this is just Solomon really honoring God through his prayers, and he's very specific in terms of protocol and process here, and how he's making sure that he acknowledges what God has done, and he talks about how much he appreciates what he's doing, and then he asks for covering, if you will, for the people, and that God will continue to be attentive to his ear, you know, have an attentive ear to the concerns of the people, and that he would not turn his face from them. And so that's a powerful prayer, and it, I think it's complete in terms of making sure that all the bases are covered, and that he doesn't leave out anybody in terms of, it's not a selfish prayer. It's not my prayer. It's a we prayer, if you will, in terms of how important that is for, don't just bless me, God, but bless my neighbor, bless the people, you know, for what they have done, and also allow their lives to be of such where you would even forgive them of their sins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. Mm-hmm. And Solomon is asking God to dwell in that place.
That's right. That's
and,
right.
And to honor those who seek him here in that place, you know, in that temple. When the people take an oath at the temple, hearing when your people are defeated, hearing in the times of plagues and famines, hearing the people when a foreigner prays, hearing when Israel goes out to battle and prays from captivity, and ending in prayer.
Wow. Isn't that something? So we start with prayer and we end with prayer, right?
That's right.
And
that's right.
This is a continuation, but we see how important it is for us to have the discipline of prayer and to be rooted. And really, if as we talked about earlier, if we're going to win the day, we have to start with acknowledging God and through our prayer. You said that's where God resides.
That's right.
Where and the connection is made. And that's where his will is in his word. And we have to study that word, and we have to be familiar with what we have in terms of the promises that he has left for us. It's right here in this book. And so we got to open the book, and we've got to study the word in order to understand what we have as an inheritance.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah.
God's okay. Faithful, I tell
He's
you.
He's faithful.
Yes.
Well, our time is about up for this portion of this particular chapter, Lady Kim. It wouldn't do any justice if we tried to go any further.
No,
because we wouldn't
have time.
Be able to cover it all. But tell us a little bit about your experience today. What was something that stuck in your spirit? I know you absorbed a lot.
Yes,
today, but
yes.
What was one thing that kind of just resonated with you that?
Well, I'm in a prophetic preaching class.
Okay.
And, you know, we talk seriously about what prophetic preaching means in this day and time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the days of the prophets, prophetic preaching was that God spoke to the prophet,
mm-hmm.
and they told or foretold of things to come.
Okay.
But today, prophetic preaching means that we have to speak to the issues
mm-hmm.
that are currently in our society, things that plague our society. For instance, mass incarceration of African American males,
mm-hmm.
Hunger, sickness and disease, and medical care for those who cannot afford it. And, you know, just speaking to the issues of
mm-hmm.
sex trafficking and LGBTQ, you know, they have all these other alphabets added on to that, you know, that I'm not familiar with, but speaking to those issues. And so speaking prophetically or preaching prophetically means that we have to bring issues to our congregation,
mm-hmm.
bring these
mm-hmm.
issues to the forefront. And we had conversation around, you know, when we bring these issues to the congregation, how in many denominations they say that we're not preaching Jesus if we bring focus to these different topics. Mm-hmm. But we can bring those topics, or we can bring focus to those topics, because Jesus was a prophetic preacher.
That's good.
He was a prophetic person. He did speak to the needs of people. We can speak to healing by talking about the woman with the issue of
blood.
That's
right. That's right.
You know, we can speak about different issues. We talked about Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, we just can't talk about Sodom and Gomorrah without talking about the whole counsel of God, which was brought forth in that particular chapter. So,
all right, Reverend.
Yeah, it was interesting.
That's good.
You know,
that's
most
good.
Of the time, I just sit and listen to take it all in, because I feel like I'm such a novice, and there's so many more seasoned preachers in my class. So I really gain a lot from the class, but.
Well, even as you were talking, I was reflecting on, Luke 4:18, where Jesus himself said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me to bring hope to the hopeless," mm-hmm. "and the release of the captives, and set at liberty those who are bruised," mm-hmm. "and those," that's
and
really what you,
the acceptable
year of the Lord. Mm-hmm. So it has to be rooted and grounded in the fact that Jesus himself was our first prophetic preacher.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And the professor lifted up that a lot of people talk about being anointed, or the anointing, mm-hmm. but we cannot have the anointing if we do not focus on that particular passage
of scripture in Luke
4:18-19. So we have to go forth with, that particular verse of scripture.
Absolutely. And that's our foundational scripture.
That's our foundational scripture. At ATOP, the Anointed Temple of Praise.
Much of what happens, even through our workshops and through the things that we present to the congregation, is to make sure that we deal with relevant issues, and that we are presenting a holistic package to people, so that chains will come off, people will be set free from their bondages. And if we but just listen and being willing to be obedient, it's not all about just hearing. But the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But we can't hold our what we've heard. We can't just be hearers of the word, but we have to be doers of
Amen.
The word as well.
Amen.
And I think that's where we find God in the going.
That's right.
And you oftentimes reference that. When you talk about knowing and going, and God releases something in us, and he releases something before us when we go in obedience to what he's called forth for us to do.
Amen. And that's what we also talked about in class today, that it's not just speaking prophetically, but there's action behind that prophetic word, mm-hmm. that we just can't speak it. We have to do something.
That's right. That's right.
You know, and so, it says, that word has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor,
mm-hmm.
To set at liberty them that are bruised.
Right.
When you set at liberty, that means you're freeing. That means you're doing
something. That's right.
Amen.
That's good. That's good. I didn't even know. I didn't share your notes with you, but I know you came right in getting ready. But that's confirmation there in terms of those scriptures that we just referenced, and how it's a clear signal that you're on the right road. And we
Amen.
Praise God for you, Doctor. You got not far to go now, and you're on your way.
I'm stretching.
I'm stretching. Y'all just stretch your hands toward Lady
Amen.
Kim, that she might
Hallelujah.
Have
Thank
more,
you,
even
Jesus.
More revelation
yes,
this week
Hallelujah.
As she continues to go through this
yes,
process.
God.
And we know that we're going to be better. Because of what God is doing through the First Lady. Come on, y'all.
Amen.
Applaud the Lord. And
I got some homework I got to get started on
yeah.
in a few minutes. Amen. Yes.
All right. Well, yes. Our time has come to an end. And so we praise God for each of you on the call today, and we're certainly grateful for God blessing us even in spite of ourselves. Don't forget now, we're still in module one for our Institute for Leadership Training. We had a workshop in person this past Saturday, but we will have our final workshop for the first module, which is leadership, this Saturday. And so it's for all of those who are in the Institute for Leadership Training. We hope that you signed up on Saturday when you came. Several people were not able to make it for various reasons and for various things that happened. Of course, we're lifting up Andrew Lawson and his sister, his older sister, as he was summoned by his family that she was not doing well. And I think he's on the call tonight. But we hope and pray that each of you will be at the Institute for Leadership Training, those who are in the class. Now, if you want to come and hear, it's going to be a different segment than our last workshop when Dr. Wesley came in from Birmingham to lead us through that with some of his leaders. We're focusing in on how to equip and how to, like we were just talking about, make the manifestation of the vision and the mission come to pass and steps that's necessary in order to achieve that. So if you want to come and you say, well, I just want to come and sit in, you're welcome to do that. And we welcome you to be a part of that on this Saturday coming up.
Saturday at 10 o'clock a.m.
Right.
And then our ministers, Pastor would like to meet with all the ministers.
That's right.
If you have been called into the ministry, all the ministers will meet. ATOP ministers mm-hmm. will meet on Saturday at 9 o'clock.
Right.
So we'll meet from 9 to 10 ministers, and then we will go into the Institute for Leadership Training workshop at 10 o'clock from 10 to 12 noon. So we look forward to seeing those people who are involved with that.
I believe our dean is on the call, isn't she, Dr. Qualis?
Yes,
she will be sending out something to all of those who would need that information for Saturday. And so we have a special guest coming in, Brian Harris. He's skilled in leadership and he has prepared something for us that I think will be very helpful for us to get even further understanding about how we can allow that vision to come to pass and what's necessary in order for us to make it happen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. We have several prayer concerns. So if you have any prayer concerns, you please put them in the chat box, the notes line down there, the comment box. We want to lift up those prayer concerns on tonight. We want to lift up Sister Dorothea Robertson. She had eye surgery recently, and so we're praying for her healing. We want to continue to lift up Brother James Cato and his family. They experienced a fire a couple of weeks ago where they lost everything, so we want to lift that family up. I got a text message from Sister Deborah Taylor, their brother Daryl Taylor, they had to take him to the hospital. Mm-hmm. Amen. I believe she mentioned something about his heart rate, being at a particular level. So we're praying for brother Daryl Taylor. You mentioned brother Andrew Lawson's sister. We're lifting her up for healing. Amen. So Brother James Shotwell, we're mm-hmm. continuing to lift him up in prayer. So please continue to keep all of those on your prayer list.
Then this Sunday, Lady Kim, we have a mid-year congregational meeting. Is that this Sunday or next Sunday? Yeah, it's the 16th, right?
Yes. So mm-hmm. it's this coming Sunday.
Right.
We have our mid-year congregational meeting, all right? And there are some others coming up on the feed. Carol Jenkins with stage 3 breast cancer, her sister Sharon's twin sister. Pray for the new moms at Baptist Hospital. Pray for brother Al's co-worker's daughter who's been diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. Pray for Sister Vendora's son, Brandon, her brother, Rico, and her mother, Bessie Edwards. Pray for Eddie Foster, who has in cancer treatment. That's Brother Jefferson's stepfather. And pray for Reggie Thompson, Brother Reggie Thompson from the men's Sunday school class. So we just spoke those prayers into existence, and we see that Minister Carter has entered.
That's right.
Amen. Reverend Carter has entered the room.
That's right.
Glory to God. Call those things that be not as though they already are. Amen.
That's it.
Amen.
That's it.
All right. Let us go to God in prayer as we end on tonight. Precious Jesus, we love you. We thank you. We bless you. We honor you. We give you the praise, honor, and glory that's due your holy name.
Yes, God.
God, we lift up the prayer request tonight. You've heard each name that was called out, oh God, on your behalf. Mm-hmm. We call out right now healing for Sister Carol Jenkins with stage 3 breast cancer. God, I've heard that you have healed people that have stage 4 breast cancer. So we call out cancer right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
we bind cancer. We pray for healing for Brother Eddie Foster right now, God, in the name of Jesus. God, we ask, oh God, that you would continue to heal Brother James Shotwell in the name of Jesus. Heal Brother Daryl Taylor in the name of Jesus. Heal Brother Andrew's sister in the name of Jesus. Heal Sister Dorothea Robertson in the name of Jesus. We lift up Brother James Cato's family to you, God. God, they lost everything in that fire. But we ask that you give them double, oh God, for their trouble.
Hallelujah.
We thank you today, God. God, we're praying for Kason Jones, oh God, who was left unattended and found walking along the busy highway. God, we thank you for watching over and protecting that grandson today, God. We ask, oh God, that you would continue to watch over and keep him and bless him, oh God. Thank you for your guardian angels, oh God, that you put around that baby as he walked that dangerous highway. And God, we thank you, oh God, for our upcoming congregational meeting that's going to take place on this Sunday, God. We ask, God, that all things go well and be in decency and order, God. God, we pray for the co-worker of Brother Al, or the daughter of the co-worker of Brother Al Blanks, oh God, who was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. God, we ask, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that you would just cut out that cancer.
Thank you, God. That you would heal those bodies
in the name of Jesus. And then, God, I pray for my cohort as we continue to study, God. God, I ask that you would give me insight, that you would give me everything I need in order to complete this class, God, that I not struggle or stress about the paper that I have to write.
Yes, God.
And God, I give you the glory for all the things that I'm learning on your behalf. We ask, oh God, that you would continue to bless our pastor, Dr. Thomas Murray, as he goes forth in your name. We thank you for the revelation that you've given him, and we thank you for the strength and the courage that you've given him to lead your people. Now we ask that you would continue to keep him in good health, oh God.
Thank you, God.
Oh God, even as his soul prospers, let him prosper, God. We love you tonight, God. We bless you, God. We honor you, God. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank God.
Praise God. All right. Well, we certainly praise God for each of you tonight who participated in this time together. And each Monday we look forward to imparting and hearing from God. And we know that our faith increases as a result of that. You want to say bye-bye to the people, Carter?
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right.
Thank you, everybody. See you next time.
Be blessed.
Bye-bye.